Happy pre-Turkey Day. Leah Pika here. Today's guest is a pro presenting guru who's transforming thousands of speaking careers in his speaker lab. Stay tuned to find out who's making magic happen on the Present Beyond Measure Show, episode 39.
Welcome to the Present Beyond Measure Show, a podcast at the intersection of analytics, data visualization, and presentation awesomeness. You'll learn the best tips, tools, and techniques for creating analytics, visualizations, and presentations that inspire data-driven decisions and move you forward. If you're ready to get your insights understood and acted upon, you're in the right place. And now your host, Leah Pika.
Hey guys, welcome to the 39th episode of the Present Beyond Measure Show, the only podcast at the intersection of presentation, data visualization, and analytics. This is the place to be if you're ready to make maximum impact and create credibility for yourself through thoughtfully presented insights. So I'd love to offer you a completely revamped free resource of mine. It's one of my most popular training course concepts. In my 13 years as digital analyst, I noticed that our data viz tools added a lot of ancillary junk to our charts. And sometimes I didn't know how to structure the visual in a compelling way. So if your charts are suffering from a toxic burden, then my chart detox checklist is the cure. So you can visit leahpika.com/chart detox to request a free copy of this resource, which will help you create clean, clear, and communicative graphs and charts in under 10 minutes. It's free, people. No brainer. So what's new with me? Well, I've just signed on to give the keynote at Web à Québec next April in Canada. I have heard such great things about this event from multiple practitioners. So if you're considering going, definitely reach out to me on Twitter or LinkedIn and let me know. I'd love to meet you there. All right, so I am super excited about today's guest. I've been a fan of his for years. He is a nationally known keynote speaker and has transformed his immense presenting experience into helping other aspiring speakers build lucrative speaking businesses from the ground up, or somewhere after that. And I'm one of the newest members of his Elite Pro Speaking Coaching Program, which has already paid off in spades. So let's roll tape. Hello, everyone. Today's guest is the founder of the Booked and Paid to Speak training course, where he helps people start and build their own speaking practice. He has given nearly 1,000 live presentations and has spoken to over 400,000 people in 46 different states through leadership conferences, conventions, and other events. His book and curriculum for students, Reality Check, is taught in 400 high schools around the country. And he is the host of the amazing Speaker Lab, which is a podcast that focuses on speaker training and interviews with speakers who will help you grow your speaking business. And I thought he would be an amazing guest for this show. So with that, I'd like to introduce you to Grant Baldwin. Welcome.
Thanks, Leah. Appreciate you letting me hang out with you.
Pleasure's all mine. So I first came across you through a partner webinar that you had done with someone like Pat Flynn or John Lee Dumas a while ago. And I was pretty early in my speaking career. And after that, I discovered your Speaker Lab podcast, which is one of those shows where every episode answers the next burning question I have about my career.
Good.
And I especially really going into little crevices, like how to systematize your business, how to maximize travel rewards programs and stay well on the
Nerdy
road.
Nerdy stuff like that.
Yeah, like really deconstructing all of it. I love it. And what I really love about your work is that you're really relatable, but you also give really concrete tools for navigating this world, which is can be challenging at times. So that I appreciate. But, you know, I think everyone would love to know, like, what's your origin story? How did you fall into this world?
Yeah, good question. So, like going way back, I was in high school. I was really involved in my local youth group, and my youth pastor had a really big impact on my life. And he was a phenomenal speaker. And so I remember looking at him speaking. I was like, I want to do that. Like, that seems cool. And so, it was kind of on that track for a little while. Went to Bible college, was a youth pastor at a local church myself for a little bit. Had a lot of opportunities to speak. And even to take a step back in college, I worked for a guy who was a full-time speaker. And so got to kind of help him a little bit on the behind the scenes part of the business on helping them with like contracts and logistics and details and travel and that kind of stuff. And just really enjoyed like, oh, there's this whole business world to speaking, right?
Yeah.
And it was one of those things like speaking is one of those things that I was really intrigued by and interested in. I just didn't know it was a thing. Like I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize like that's a thing that people do. Like people can absolutely make a living from. So, so worked with him and then was a youth pastor for a little while and then had a lot of opportunities to speak. And so decided I really wanted to pursue a career as a speaker, but I was in the spot where maybe some of your listeners are in that I had no idea where to begin. One of the lines I like to use is I had the potential, but I needed the plan. I had the potential, but I needed a plan. I like speaking. I knew I was a decent speaker. No idea what to do from there. Right. And I think that's where a lot of people are. And I know we'll discuss that more. So from there, I met a few other speakers who were doing, speaking at the types of events that I was interested in that I wanted to do more of, and started asking them questions and stalking and hounding them and just to try to like figure out how does this thing work. And so for the next, about 8 years or so, was a full-time speaker doing anywhere from 50 to 70 gigs a year. And it was a blast. I really, really loved it. And so we got to a point a couple of years ago where people were regularly asking me like, hey, I want to do this. How do I do this? And so we created an online training program and the podcast that you mentioned and some different tools and resources to help people who were where I was several years ago of just wanting to do this and needing some next steps. And so that's the bulk of what the business is today is teaching the business of speaking and teach people how to find and book speaking engagement. So it's a lot of fun.
I can see that you have a lot of fun with it, and it really shows that you get a really rewarding sense of service to people.
Sure.
Because I think there are so many people that are talented, they have the drive, they have the potential, and they, like you said, they just don't know where to start. So, you know, many of the practitioners in my field, digital analysts, digital service providers, marketers, even upper level CMOs, people like that, they'd love to get started with pro speaking. But if you're at square one, what's like the first step that you take?
Yeah. So there's three questions that I always challenge speakers to really think through and answer. And so first one being, who is it that you want to speak to? Because oftentimes we're just like, I just like speaking. I just want to talk to people. Right. But that doesn't work. Like you have to be really, really clear about who it is that you want to speak to. So do you want to speak to other digital marketers or other digital analysts? Or do you say, hey, I want to speak to moms who are looking to start a business, or I want to speak to accountants. I mean, it could be any number. Like there's so many ridiculous opportunities. A speaker inside one of our programs. She's a veterinarian, and the very first gig that she did was for I think $4,000 or $5,000 to speak at a pet sitting conference in Vegas. It's like I didn't even know that was a thing.
How do I go to this conference?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy. So. So there's a lot of people who, again, they know they want to speak, but you have to get clear about who it is that you speak to. And you really want to be specific with that. You don't want to say like, okay, I want to speak to women. Okay, that's great. But that's like half the world's population. So you have to be super specific and clear about who it is that you speak to. Now, the second part then is not only who you want to speak to, but what's the problem that you can solve for that? So oftentimes people think about like, okay, if I were to ask you, what do you speak about? And someone's reply is like, what do you want me to speak about? I could speak about anything.
It's
like that. Yeah. Like that's not accurate. Like that's not true. Right?
Right.
In the same way that, you know, if we were to go to lunch and sit down and looking at a menu and they're like, well, we don't actually have menus. We can cook anything you want here. It's like, that's not accurate. And even if it were, like the food can't be that good.
What are you good at? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. So you have to be really, really clear on those pieces and who you speak to and what's the problem that you solve. And if you can get clear on those things, then finding and booking gigs becomes so much simpler. But when it's people who are just going, I speak to humans and I talk, what do you want me to talk about? Like, then you just become this jack of all trades.
Right.
And it's hard to get any traction trying to do that. So the more specific, the more clear you can be, the better. So I'll give you an example. My wife and I, we have three daughters and they have, we got some chalk for them to doodle on the driveway. Well, something was up with this chalk apparently. And normally you put some chalk down on the driveway on concrete and it just washes off. And this did not wash off.
Oh.
And so... So then I borrowed a pressure washer from a buddy, and I'm trying to spray it. It's not really coming off. I'm like, what in the world?
Oh, no.
This looks like spray paint on our driveway. so I call around to a couple different people just trying to figure out like, who do we, like, who can clean this? Like, who does something like this? And so I had a couple different people who were like handymen who came over, and they're kind of like, I've got a pressure washer. I could probably figure it out. I guess I could. But then we had a guy who came over. And I've got his business card. I'll show you. I know people at home can't see this, but his name is, let's see here, breezypowerwash.com. All right. So if you're in the Nashville area, you want to check that out. And all this guy does is power wash and cleans driveways. Like, that's pretty much it, right? He shows up in a van that's decked out in this little breezy power wash looking character. His business card says that. Yep. So it's not like, oh yeah, I clean driveways and I also mow lawns
and
I can also shovel snow. And I can paint and I can change light bulb. I can do all these things. Like, no. All I basically do is power wash driveways, right? So as a consumer who has a problem, who's looking for a solution, which guy makes more sense to hire? The guy that, like, this is all I do, or the guy who's like, I guess I could do that. I could probably figure that out. You know?
Yeah.
And so the other thing too, to think about is that, which one do you think charges more? The Mr. Power Washer dude, or like the handyman who's like, yeah, I guess I could, right? The Power Washer guy is actually going to charge more because he knows what he's doing.
He's a specialist.
Right? And he's going to deliver on it. So it just makes it so much simpler as a consumer for me to be like, oh yeah, this is the guy, right? And if you pay attention in the marketplace, there's a lot of businesses that are like that. So a friend of mine, I was at his house the other day and he was having a TV mounted, and the company is called We Mount TVs. That's it. Like, that's all they do is they mount TVs. So if you're like, well, can you also do these other random odd jobs? Not really. Like, what we do is we mount TVs, this very specific thing. But he's like, we're just slammed all the time.
They're cornered with that.
It's very, very easy to identify. This is what I do. This is who I provide the solution for. So who do you speak to? What's the problem that you solve? The third piece then is, where do those people gather? Where do those people gather?
Okay.
Because as a speaker, there has to be some type of natural gathering of people that you can actually speak to.
Right.
So if you said something like, I want to speak to moms who are struggling with weight loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. But like, where, like, what's the natural gathering for them? Is that going to be through some type of weight loss group, or is that going to be through some type of association, or is that going to be through some type of church group? I mean, it could be any number of places, but being clear about, like, okay, where do those people gather? Just because you're like, all right, I want to speak to this group. I want to speak to people who love dogs.
Right.
Okay. Like, what, but where are you going to speak to?
Right.
And some of that just requires a little bit of digging and some homework there to figure out what are the opportunities. But again, once you're clear on who you speak to, what's the problem that you solve, where do those people gather, it just becomes so much simpler to find gigs. But I find that people who have a difficult time getting going and getting traction as a speaker is because they're not clear on those things.
I see.
It's because they're just kind of like, well, I want to speak to everybody on anything and whatever I can. I just want to speak, right? But the more clear you are, the easier it is to find gigs.
This is amazing and really clear cut. And I can totally relate, because a lot of times people have asked, you know, you're teaching people how to present data and information. You could go so much wider with your audience, because that's like everyone in the corporate world. But I've chosen to niche down specifically to people in the digital marketing field, because I've worked with that data for 12 years. I know what it's like to be those people, and I speak that language. And I have found so much more success in trying to saturate this market with me, rather than go bigger, where the pond is also bigger with bigger sharks, right? There's people way ahead of me on that.
Yeah. And I think it's easy. Like, when we look at just speakers in general, oftentimes we think of big names. We think of like a Tony Robbins, or we think of a Gary Vaynerchuk, or a Les Brown, or some of those type of people. And we think about, well, those people can talk about anything. It's like, yeah, they can, but like, you're not them. So I'm not them.
Sorry.
So we don't have that opportunity. Right. And if you think about, take someone like a Gary Vaynerchuk. Are you familiar with Gary?
Mm-hmm.
So Gary today, he speaks on a wide variety of different subjects and topics. Do you remember, like, whenever he got started in the online space, what he was speaking on, or what he was talking about just in general? Do you remember?
No.
It was wine. All he did was wine, right? And so for like years and years and years, like he had a video show. He had a I don't know if he had a podcast, but all of his social media, everything he did was around wine, right? So it's this very specific niche thing. Mm-hmm. In the same way that if you look at someone like Tim Ferriss, right? Today, what he does is all kinds of different stuff, right? But originally, it was about like lifestyle design and this one very specific topic for a specific audience, right? But once you start there, then it's a lot easier to kind of expand. But you have to be clear initially about who it is that you want to focus on. So let's go back to the example of I'm talking with this guy the other day of like we mount TVs, right? And so I'm asking him like, hey, I also have some picture frames I need to have mounted. Is that something that you could do? Sure, it's something we could do. Our outward stuff is communicating like this is the only thing that we do. Right. But as other opportunities come up, so like in your case, Leah, let's say all I do from an outward marketing perspective on my website, my video, it communicates that I'm speaking to digital marketers and digital analysts on, you know, how to present data or whatever it may be, right? And so that's what I speak on. But then someone's like, I heard you speak. That was amazing. This would work perfect in this kind of like crossover type of industry. Is that something you'd be interested in? Yeah, I could see doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're connecting the dots for you rather than you saying, I speak to this group and this group and this group and this topic and this topic and this topic. And you're communicating, I do all these things, right? But if someone sees you speak and they're like, I could totally see how this would work in our world. Then obviously you have to decide, like, does that make sense for you? Is that something that you want to do? Does it fit with where you want to go? Right. But for many, it may make sense and it may be a good opportunity for you to begin to expand your business that way.
This is excellent advice. So, you know, once people start to get in the groove of finding conferences and things that they want to speak at, you know, I personally had the luxury of a lot of word of mouth snowballing for me, but I've also applied to my fair share and gotten turned down even after having a really established brand. So how do you stand out to conference organizers when you're actually applying to them?
Yeah. So speaking is very much a momentum business, and that getting going in the beginning can take some work. Like you feel like you're pushing a boulder uphill, but once you start to get some momentum and you get some traction, it's a lot easier to keep it going. So like you said, in your situation, speaking tends to lead to other speaking, right? Mm-hmm. So you have no clue who's in the audience and who they might be connected to or who they may be looking for. I've had several gigs that have come from, you know, someone's cousin was in the audience or the type of thing where
a tweet goes out and
just the right person sees it, or it's the type of thing where like 3 or 4 years later someone reaches out and is like, hey, I remember seeing you speak years ago and now I'm in charge of that event or a different event and we're looking for a speaker and I thought of you, right? So speaking oftentimes leads to other speaking, but again, getting going can take some time. So one of the things that you can do is make sure that you have good marketing assets in place. So your website, your demo video are really important. So whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, people judge books by a cover. So whenever someone comes to your website, so Leah, I took a look at your site right before we hopped on here. You have a really, really well done site. Like it's sharp. Okay.
Thanks.
So I've never seen you speak, but based on the site, I'm like, oh, this girl has her act together. Right. So versus if someone goes to the site and just like, this looks like this was designed by another third grade nephew.
Front page.
Just awkward and clunky and links don't work and there's typos. So people, they may be the best speaker in the world, but people are making assumptions about that speaker based on the website. So just making sure like your website, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to spend tens of thousands of dollars, but it needs to look sharp. It just needs to look professional. So websites are really important. The demo video is also important. So a demo video is basically like a 2 to 4 minute video that, think of it like almost like a movie trailer. Movie trailer is designed to give someone a little snap shot an overview of the movie and make them want to see more. And that's really what a demo video is you're showing someone not an entire, you know, not your entire talk. You're just showing a couple minutes of clips to put together and helps people get a sense of this is how I communicate. This is what I talk about. This is the audience that I interact with. Because most people most people aren't going to hire a speaker that they haven't at least seen or have had recommended or referred. And so even if you've never met the person, you've never talked with the person, they're just, and they just, they're not going to necessarily take your word for it. Like, no, just trust me. I'm a good speaker. It's like, I just need to see something. Right. So if I can just see a couple of minutes just to kind of get a sense of like, is this person, maybe you're a great speaker. You're just not a fit for what we're looking for. Right. So having a demo video there is really important. So website and demo video would be the two simplest things to get going, to make sure that you, you're communicating again outwardly to someone who's never hired you before, never heard of you before, that you do have your stuff together. And that you do, you would do a great job for their event.
So it's funny that you mentioned these two assets, because you are actually the person that inspired me to create a speaker reel, a demo video basically. And I saw it years ago, and I remember laughing when I saw that you created your first one off of your phone, and it was really blurry and hard to see. But you said it brought in like hand over fist referrals, because what came through was your passion and your skill and your heart, you know. So I've used your template for that. I've routinely checked in on yours. So what I'll do is I'll make sure the link to your demo video and to the one I have, I mean, mine is nothing to write home about, but I'll put links to those just so people can get a sense of that. And actually in that vein, I've always wondered, like, how do people like you find videographers and choose events that are ideal for that very specific, setup that you have for your videos, where close shots of you and close shots of the audience laughing and people coming up and giving testimonials, like these are the pieces that are still even missing for me.
Yeah. So a couple of things I would say there is remember that everybody starts from zero, right? And what I mean by that is anybody who's getting started speaking, they don't naturally already have I already have my website, I already have my demo video, right? Everyone starts with version 1.0. Mm-hmm. So work with what you've got and improve as you go. Work with what you've got and improve as you go. Mm-hmm. So I would say, I'm totally happy for you to share, you know, our website and video. Don't compare version 1.0 of your video to my video. So I've gone through at this point, 6 or 7 different demo videos. And each time you work with what you've got, you do the best that you have, you do it with excellence, and you improve as you go. Mm-hmm. And so, don't look at, and there's plenty of videos I know that are just like, they're amazing. I know one guy who spent $80,000 on his video. Right. Oh. And it looks like it is really well done, but I can't be looking at that stuff and compare, oh man, mine doesn't look like that. Well, I didn't spend $80,000 on it, so it shouldn't look like that, you know? So again, don't get into the comparison trap of trying to have some type of video or website that has a lot of bells and whistles and flash that yours doesn't have. Okay. Don't do that. Now, having said that, though, again, you do want to make sure that it looks sharp. You do want to make sure that they look professional. So what I've tended to do is, depending on the type of event that you are speaking at, oftentimes they're filming it already.
Right.
And so especially if it's some type of conference, they're going to use it internally, or maybe they're streaming it in some way. So there's a lot of different ways that they may be using the video. So oftentimes if they're already videoing it, I just ask for a copy of it. And that's one of the things you can actually ask for up front. Mm-hmm. Is that you can put it in your contract, which is real easy, just that you would like a copy of the video. And so you can use, so one of the things that I've done over the years is I just like gathered footage. Like any event that you speak at, always try to gather footage, whether it's video or pictures. Anytime I'm at an event and I notice like the event photographer took a couple pictures, they came in the room, took a couple pictures and left, like I want to track them down. Like, hey, you send me those pictures. Like I would love, you know, I'd love to have them. So I'd rather have them and not need them than need them and not have them, which is where a lot of people find themselves. So I try to just gather those things over time. So there's only been once or twice where I've had an event and I've brought in like a video crew specifically for that event. And it wasn't necessarily like, I had done a ton of research. Like the one I'm thinking of, it wasn't like, okay, this venue is going to be perfect and we scouted it out. It was, I had a friend who lived like 30 minutes away from this event where I was speaking. And so I invited him to come, and it was kind of luck of the draw that the venue was really nice. But I mean, it could have been crap. Right. So what I would say would be like, I would start with your own network of like asking on Facebook, anybody have, because there's I think in anybody's network, there's going to be like some wannabe videographer.
Right.
Someone who like, they've got the gear.
That's a good idea.
They've dabbled with it. They enjoy it. And so, cause really you're not looking for like a lot of like bells and whistles and fancy camera angles. Like you really just need a good camera set up on the back of the room, maybe one on the side of the room, maybe a close up tight shot on you, and just hit record and that's it. Like you don't have to do all this like flyby editing type stuff. The other thing that's really, really important on the video is make sure that you, you're picking up the audio externally, meaning that, if you have, let's say a camera, let's say you're speaking to a room of 500 people and you have a camera at the back of the room, you don't want to depend on the audio from that camera picking up you speaking because it's going to be picking up all the audio around the camera. So if there's people sitting there, if there's people walking by, if there's people talking, it's picking up all of that. So what you want to do is you want to record the audio separately. And so have an actual mic on, and this could even be like, I have a like a $60 or $70 like a Rode mic, R-O-D-E. That I've got on like Amazon that can attach to your phone that you just record the audio separately. So, but if you're using like a, you know, like a good videographer, there's a decent chance that they have, you know, some type of mic pack kit that can record the audio separately and they just sync up the audio and the video in post-production. So start with like your own network. You can also look at like, a local community college or local college and ask like the video department, because they're looking for projects.
Right.
And so that could be an option. You may check Craigslist. I did that one time. I was speaking at an event in Dallas. I don't live in Dallas. I didn't know anyone in Dallas. And so I just found someone on Craigslist who could do it, and they came and did a good job. So
that's great.
You could do something like that. So, but again, I think the biggest thing I would say would be, again, remember this is version 1.0. So if you don't have these things in place right now, do them and do them with excellence because they matter. But again, don't feel like this is the only demo video. This is the only website I'm ever going to have. And so it has to be flawless. It has to be perfect. Again, do it with excellence, but it's, you're going to get better footage over time. So like you mentioned at the beginning, my first demo video, it was footage of me speaking, to a room of about 30 people. It was dark. The lighting was bad. The acoustics were bad. I borrowed a camera from a friend. It was just, it was not a good setup, but it worked. And 6 months later, I had some better footage. And a year after that, I had more footage to work with. And 2 years after that, I had more. And so it just, the videos improved over time. But at the time, that this is what I have. And this is what I have to work with. So again, work with what you've got and improve as you go.
Are you editing the videos yourself as you get more footage, or do you have someone that helps you with that?
I've done both. So at this point, I tend to, my most recent one, I had someone else edit it. But the first several I did myself. And so there's a great tools today with, I use ScreenFlow on a Mac, but you could use, iMovie or like a QuickTime or, my very first one, that horrible one that I made using Windows Movie Maker. I don't even know if that's still a thing, but, it worked. And so, and like when, if you're just like, I'm decently computer savvy and you know how to like cut and paste and drag and drop, a lot of the tools today allow for that. It's really, really simple. So I'm not a video editor by any means, but I've done a lot of video editing using ScreenFlow and just some basic, like just some really, really basic stuff. Yeah, so you could do either there, but so, I would say this, like if you're if you're going to use an editor, don't say, all right, here's my 60-minute talk. Can you make it into a 2 minutes of good stuff? You know, like you know your material better than anyone else, and so what you want to do is you want to pick out the clips that you're going to give that they edited together. So okay, from the 4:30 mark to the 4:47 mark, I want to use that clip, and then I need it from 11:10 to 11:34. I want you to use that clip, and you're telling them what clips to want, and then they can put it together. So like unless they're someone that like they specialize in demo videos, which most people don't, and they're just like, I'm just a videographer, then you want to be clear with them of what you want. The other thing too is if you can look up some examples of what you like, of here's some demo videos I like, so that they have something to go off of. So for example, my sister is a graphic designer. And so she's designed a lot of our stuff. So when I go to her and I say, like, what do you want this to look like? And if I'm just like, can you just make it cool? Like, it doesn't mean anything.
So that's widely interpreted.
So like more examples that I can give to her, the more examples that you can give to a videographer who's going to edit it, like the more they have to work off of versus like their interpretation of what you're looking for.
I see. Great. So once you have these assets in place, what are some creative places that you're leveraging them? I mean, I have like my own speaking page and I have it on YouTube, but I can't say that they get a tremendous amount of traffic like my posts do, but not my speaking assets. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah. And so that tends to be a mistake that a lot of speakers make is, okay, I've got my website, I've got my demo video, I put them up. And then I just sit back and I wait for the phone to ring. Like, it just tends to not work like that. Like, it's if you build it, they will not come.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's no different than any other, like, you know, any other piece of content that you could create, whether it's a website or a podcast or a video or whatever. It's just, you build it, you put it up, and it's not going to just magically take off, right? There has to be something there that you do to get going. So what we really teach is, rather than waiting on events to find you, is spending the time like going out and finding events that you could be a good fit for. And so letting them know who you are, what it is that they do. The best place to start is existing conferences or an events, because they're already planning on hiring a speaker. Like, you don't have to convince them to hire a speaker. Right. They're already looking for one. And so you're just showing why you are a good fit. So let's go back to the example I gave earlier of the gal who spoke at a pet sitting conference, right? She's a veterinarian. She wants to speak about pets. And so if she spends some time on Google looking up things like pet conference, pet sitting conference, veterinary conference, you know, pet association, pet events. You could look that up by state or region or province or territory. And so if you start looking up some of these potential events and she finds this pet sitting conference in Vegas, and she reaches out to them and she's someone who speaks about pet care, then she's providing a solution to a problem they already have. Like, they're looking for speakers like her, right? So then it's just, the big piece then is really, it comes down to like building relationships. Like, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so, you're just showing why you're a good option. You're showing why you are good to work with, how you can deliver value to that audience. And so keep in mind though, that hiring a speaker is oftentimes kind of it can be like a long, sales cycle, meaning that most events book speakers anywhere from 3 to 6 months in advance. And it may be like a couple of months of talking to them before they book a speaker. So for example, let's say you're looking at speaking, at an event in October and it's currently August, right? They most likely already have their speaker already picked, right? Or sometimes I'll have people reach out and be like, oh, I just found this perfect conference. It's happening in 2 weeks. It's like, well, that's not like they're already booked. That's not going to work out. But what you want to do is pay attention to what they're going to be doing next year. So if the conference happens in 2 weeks, then I would make a note to follow up with them in 3 weeks and to check in with them and see when they will start reviewing speakers for their next year's conference or event. Because oftentimes, even if they have a speaker this year, they're most likely not going to have that same speaker next year.
Right,
they want to bring in some different faces. They want to bring in some different speakers. They want the audience to turn over a little bit. Right. And so they want to bring in different speakers. So there's been some clients, there's one I can think of where I followed up with her for like 5 or 6 years before they booked me. And each year they'd pick a different speaker and different speaker. And finally they got to the bottom of the barrel and went with me. But continuing to stay top of mind with them makes, you know, can really make a big difference. So, just having a long-term perspective and building relationships, and beginning to like outreach to potential clients, can all those things can really make a difference.
So really persistence and, you know, actually something I've started to do, which I'm not getting into a habit of yet, but I hope to, is I started collecting a database of conferences I want to go to, because typically I missed those call for speakers. That's what you should look for on a website. If they're really organized, they'll have a call for speaker submission. And, you know, I take note of that link. I take note of the deadline and I put in and track and hopefully, you know, plan that out for the following year as well. So,
yeah. Another thing to consider there is, for everybody's sake, it kind of depends like how you want to position yourself as a speaker. So for some people, they say, I just want to do like workshops and breakouts. And I'm going to speak primarily as lead gen for maybe consulting or some type of service-based business you have on the backside. And that's totally fine. There's plenty of speakers who do that. Mm-hmm. In which case, like paying attention to like where your ideal customer or your ideal audience would gather so that you're speaking to them because you know it's going to lead to business in other ways, right? And so you can speak at like conferences are oftentimes looking for good speakers. They're looking for free presenters. And so The other thing I was going to say, though, was let's say you're wanting to be positioned more as like a paid keynote speaker.
Right.
Then one of the things that you could do is maybe one year you present a free workshop there. But by presenting, you're able to actually meet the event planner in person. You're able to connect with some of the audience. You're able to learn more about them. So, for example, I remember a couple of years ago going to speak at a free breakout at a conference that I was trying to get in with. And it went really, really well. I went there for free. I paid my own travel. So on paper, I lost money on that particular event, but the session went great. It got back to the event planner. It went great. I got to meet them in person, spend some time with them, got to connect with some of the other keynote speakers who were able to say, hey, you know, we've seen Grant, he'll do a great job. So the next year they ended up hiring me as the keynote, for the event. But a large part of it came because I had invested time and resources and being there, building a relationship with their audience in the first place, the first year. So that's another strategy of anytime you're going, to a conference, like always try to speak at it, even if it's just a free workshop, because it's a good opportunity for you to learn more about the audience, to connect with that decision maker, and maybe they would hire you in the following year.
This is excellent advice, and it's true. I can attest that so many of the gigs that I did in the beginning were free, and you know, I kind of saw an evolution. I was just thrilled to even get an invitation and have the opportunity to get the name out there, to practice my craft, to connect with people, like you said. And then at some point it started shifting where now people started offering to pay for my travel expenses. Yep. And eventually the switch flipped and I was able to start actually getting paid to speak in addition for an actual fee. So I'm sure a lot of people, like, first, what I want to say to the listeners is you have to be patient with that phase. You're going to have to do a lot of free gigs. And like you said, take a loss if you're really passionate about it. It's an investment. But once you've done that, how do you start to gauge a sense when you are ready to start getting to start charging for speaking?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And I would say this as kind of a caveat there, like I had done, like when I got started as a speaker, like I had done some speaking. I had done some speaking as a youth pastor. I taught like a Sunday school class at church, you know, so a few of those little like random opportunities, but I hadn't done any speaking like in the context of what groups started hiring me for. And so my first gig, they paid me $1,000 to do a keynote for this small little event. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was just like mind boggling. Like it was just, I couldn't even fathom. This was crazy. But I say that to say, like, it wasn't like I had done 50 or 100 free gigs and now all of a sudden I'm ready to do something paid. So speaking can be a bit subjective, but if you feel like, all right, I've done some speaking and work, I've presented in meetings and I've done some workshops before and I've presented in a board meeting and I've had a couple of these type of settings that I've presented at, I get good feedback, I like this, I want to do more of this, then there's no, like, there's nothing that says you have to do X number of free gigs before you can start charging, right?
Okay.
So I would say, like, you should start charging as soon as possible and not trying to do, free gig after free gig after free gig. Now, there are times where, even to this day, like a free gig may make sense. So maybe you're trying to, you're testing new material. Maybe it's something that you just want to do, for a nonprofit that you want to support and you believe in. Maybe it's something where you're trying to get in with this conference organizer. Maybe you're doing it as lead gen for other parts of the business. Maybe it's just in a cool location. Like my wife has said, like, Grant will speak for free in Hawaii if you pay for the family to come, you know? So maybe, you know, maybe for travel, it's just, it makes sense to speak for free. So there's a lot of reasons to speak for free that may make sense, but don't just speak for free out of the goodness of your heart. Like, meaning that, like, you're running a business here, so you should start charging for it. That's also not to say, like, okay, well, I want to be a $10,000 speaker, so I should start charging $10,000 tomorrow. You probably shouldn't do that. So there's going to be a natural progression there of what you should be charging and how you increase fees. So people ask a lot, like, how much should I charge? Right. Because there's a lot of variables that go into it. So actually we have a free calculator we put together. I don't know if you've played with this before.
That was actually what I was going to mention next.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, It's a totally free calculator. People can check out over at myspeakerfee.com, myspeakerfee.com. You answer a couple questions and it'll tell you what you should be charging, because it's going to vary depending on your industry. It's going to vary depending on your experience level. It's going to vary depending on how many gigs they're asking you or talks they're asking you to do. So there's a lot of variables that go into it. But if you answer those questions there, it'll give you a number that gives you at least an idea of what you should be charging, because it will vary. But if you're just getting started, then there's it's not unheard of for you to get paid, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 for a gig, depending on the gig and depending on what you're doing and some of your experience level. But that's not unheard of at all.
So what I love about this tool, which I use on the regular, is all of the different factors it takes into account. Like, are you traveling? Which, yes, you know, you're sacrificing time by traveling. That's totally. You could be working. How many gigs you've done in the past. And when I first did it, my jaw dropped because I was like, I am way undercharging according to this. And I would imagine that it's not just me, but so many people, maybe even especially women, where we have this sort of block around asking for what we think we're worth.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid of offending the people that I'm pitching my price to.
Yep.
And then they won't like me, and then they'll completely reject the idea. Like, it's a real block that I still totally. Struggle with sometimes. So do you help some of your students work around that?
Yeah. So a couple things I would say to that is that, in our case, we all really enjoy speaking, right? It's just fun. So we would do it for free. So the idea that someone would pay us for it just seems ludicrous in the first place, right? Cause yes, it's a way to make a living. Yes, it's a way to make an income, but it's also just fun. And so the fact that someone would pay us something is just crazy. So oftentimes we're just like, I would love to do it for free. I would love to do it for a nickel, if that's all you got, because I just enjoy it. So one of the things we have to do is make that mental shift of, yes, I enjoy it. Yes, this is fun, but I also like to eat and live indoors. So if I speak constantly for free, just because I like it and just because it's fun and I like helping people, but I'm broke and our family's struggling, right, there's something out of alignment there. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you know that you're running a business. And so you have to treat it as such. One of the most difficult things for a speaker to do is to walk away from a gig. Meaning that if you talk with a client, they're like, oh, we don't have any budget, or our budget's, a Subway sandwich. Can you do it? There was probably a season where you're like, yeah, I'll figure it out. I got to do it. But there also has to be a time where you're just like, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry. It sounds like a great event. I would love to be a part of it. I can't make that work. Right.
Yeah.
And that's tough because you want to do it, but you have to draw a line in the sand and say no. One of the things that we do in terms of talking about the financial piece of it is that, a couple things. So in the conversation with a potential client, you're learning about them, learning about the event. And then it starts to get to that part of money. And this is where all speakers feel uncomfortable. And part of it is we have a difficult time separating ourselves from the product because you're hiring me. So if you reject me, or if you think it's too expensive, you're saying something about me personally, right? It's not actually true, but that's the way we internalize it.
Right.
Oh, you don't think I'm good enough. You don't think I'm worth it. You don't think I'm valuable,
Right.
And so it's not like I'm selling this bottle of water. Well, if you don't like the bottle of water, that doesn't offend me. I'm going to sleep fine tonight. But if you reject me as a speaker, I'm like,
it's your voice.
That feels different, So one of the things that we do is when you're making that transition, I just straight up ask the question, do you mind me asking what your budget is for this event? Mm-hmm. And most of the time they'll tell you, and I would not recommend saying, whatever your budget is, that's what my fee is. Don't play that game, right? So you do want to have fee integrity of saying this is what my fee is and this is what I charge. But the reason I ask that is I always like to figure out some context going into it of how far apart we could be. So if I ask them and they say, hey, we don't have any budget, right? Okay. Now I know what direction I need to take this.
Right.
Or if they say, if my fee is, let's say $10,000 and they say we have $2,000. Okay. Now I can start to again, think through how I need to approach that. And the other thing I would say is that even though you need to have a set fee and you need to have fee integrity, there are going to be times where it does make sense to negotiate. So like I was saying, you know, let's say it was something that is local. I live here in Nashville, and so I'm always willing to take less for something that is 30 minutes away versus having to fly to the West Coast, you know, or something like that. That's going to take significantly more time.
Right.
If it is an audience, let's say I do some consulting stuff and I know that by speaking at this event, it's going to lead to other consulting opportunities, right? It may make a ton more sense to speak for less. I've had a, I used to speak a lot in the education space with like high school students and college students. And so we would sell different types of products, book and t-shirt and stuff. And so I knew like some big events, like I knew we were just going to make really good money on the product side. So I was willing to take less knowing that we're going to do great on that side because of the size of the event, because of the setup and that kind of thing. So there's always, there may be reasons for you to negotiate. But don't just approach it like, hey, you know, whatever your budget is, that's what I'm going to do. I think too is to remember is depending on the conference, depending on the event, like these conferences and some of them have just like, they have significant budgets, right?
Yeah.
So if they have, you know, 500 people that attend a conference and each paid, you know, $500 or $1,000 to be there, like that adds up. And there's certainly like hard costs that go into hosting an event or a conference, but like they have budget, they have money there. And so, yeah, I know I'm kind of rambling here, but there's a lot of ways to make like the finances work. But don't just sell yourself short and be like, yeah, I'll just do it for whatever. I'll do it for free because I like speaking.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, kind of what you said about seeing it as a business, what are some of the differentiating elements you see when a pro is treating speaking like a hobby, a paid hobby versus a real business?
Yeah, I think one of the things is that if it's a hobby, again, I put up my website, put up my video, and I set it and forget it.
Yeah.
But a pro, someone who's really taking it seriously on the business side, they're going to be very diligent in identifying potential events and reaching out to those potential events and following up with those events. So a mistake that a lot of speakers make and where they really drop the ball is follow up. So let's say you reach out to a potential client. And they're like, hey, we love your site. We love your video. This sounds like a great fit. We're not reviewing speakers right now, but we will in 3 months. And so what most speakers do is they're like, awesome. Like holler at me in 3 months and let me know if you need anything or if, you know, if I can answer any questions or whatever. And we just kind of leave the ball in their court.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Right.
You want to figure out what their next step in the process is and base your follow up on that. So if you talk with them and be like, hey, we're not really reviewing speakers right now, but this looks really interesting. Awesome. Do you mind me asking when you'll start reviewing speakers? Yeah, we're going to review speakers in mid-October and our committee meets to start reviewing them. Cool. Do you mind if I follow up with you then? Sure. Absolutely. Because what they're thinking is, you're not going to follow up.
Right.
Like, those speakers do, right? Like just service-based businesses in general. You say you're going to follow up in 3 months, you're not going to follow up in 3 months. But when you do, think about also what's happening here is that when you say, hey, is it cool if I follow up with you in 3 months? And they're like, sure. And then you do, what's that saying to them? Like you are a pro. Like you do take it seriously. Because there's like, I'm hiring you to show up and speak, but I'm also hiring you to make my life easy. Because as an event planner, there's a lot of moving parts there. And so the easier that you can be to work with, the more likely they're going to want to be to refer you. Right. Like I've always like half joking, half seriously said, there's a gal who's been on our team for many years, Lisa. And Lisa does a lot of the logistics and contracts and all of that stuff. And I always tell her like, if we're amazing to work with, I can be mediocre on stage. Now, I don't want to be, but I still want to do a great job.
Yeah.
But because we made their life so easy to work with, then we become the kind of speaker that they want to work with again and refer and recommend to other people. And so I'm just making sure that you, like, if you say you're going to follow up, then follow up. And I found like I've booked so many gigs by just staying top of mind with them and learning about, I've reached out to them in October. Actually, we pushed it back to December. Cool. You mind if I touch base with you in December? Yeah, absolutely. And I'll touch base with them in December. And just having like a simple CRM or some type of system that like when you say you're going to do something that you do it and following up with them is a really simple way to do that.
May I ask what system you use? I'm shopping around myself.
Yeah. So there's several different ones we used for the longest time. Hi-Rise. Hi-Rise was one that we used for a long time. There's a free one from HubSpot. That's a really good
one that we recommend
students. Yeah. So then it's free, which is always a win. There's another one we have some students that use called Pipedrive. which is a good one. So they all have pros and cons. And sure. So, yeah, just the biggest thing is just, and like, if you're like, I don't want to use a tool at all, like just creating a calendar reminder or a task that you schedule off into the future, that, you know, that can work as well. Like it's not super scalable, but so right. at some point it's good to have some type of good tool
but
or
something.
System.
Do something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Don't just try to remember. Don't like, talk to them to, like, circle back with us in 3 months and you just think you're going to remember
right,
that.
Magically.
Like, you won't. So like said, like that's where you can really schedule it and just forget about it.
This is so true. And I'm remembering one of my favorite episodes. It was I don't remember his name, but it was about systematizing your business. And I mean, he is booking like 200 events a year, something really yeah. crazy. And one of the things that really stood out for me in that episode was how you show up as a speaker, not only when you're trying to get booked, but once you are booked. What I love is that you are calling your organizers and conferences your clients. And I realized when I listened to that, that I wasn't treating them the same way I would treat a paying client, especially yeah. if it was a free conference. And I would be sometimes late sending in my materials and I would be yep. late to respond. Like there's some block around acting that way. Mm-hmm. But like you said, when you start to treat them like clients and you show up to make their lives easier, you know, now I'm getting invited back for repeat or different locations around the country. And it really does make a difference. So
totally. Yep. Those relationships matter. They matter yeah. massively. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was awesome. So tell us about your free course that you have for helping speakers get started. What are they going to be able to do after they go through it?
Yeah. So we have a free webinar that people can definitely check out over at freespeakerworkshop.com, freespeakerworkshop.com. And we take a lot of what we've covered here today and just kind of dig into it a little bit more on certain pieces of the website, the video, the process for finding gigs and reaching out to them and the follow-up process there. Even coming back to the foundational pieces of being clear on who you speak to, what's the problem that you solve. So dig into that a lot more over there. So yeah, I definitely encourage people to check that out. Again, it's totally free training over at freespeakerworkshop.com, freespeakerworkshop.com.
Awesome. So, Grant, I call the next segment the upgrade, and it's a power tip or a resource, maybe something other than what we've talked about for, you know, really doing our jobs greatly, excellently. Yeah. Is there anything that comes to mind as like a resource that really helped you along your journey?
Yeah, I'm kind of like scanning my toolbar here to see what I like the most. One of the tools, and there's plenty of these out there, but there's a task management tool I use called Things for a Mac. And again, it's no different than any other task management. But one of the things that we've been really disciplined with is to when tasks come up and you hear about something or you say you're going to do something, like just writing it down. Yeah. Like we just try to keep track of too much in our head. And so getting away from that. And if I say I'm going to follow up with someone or I need to check on someone, even if it's going to be like a 5-minute thing. So for example, I have a buddy of mine who messaged me a couple of weeks ago. He's like, hey, can you touch, like he's working on a project. He's like, hey, can you touch base with me every couple of days, just making sure I'm making progress on this. And normally I'd be like, yeah, sure. And like, you're just trying to remember. And then mm-hmm. 3 weeks go by and you're like, oh crap, I never messaged him. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just set a reminder that recurs every other day. And I texted him this morning just to check in. He's like, dude, you don't know how much I appreciate this and how much mm-hmm. this means to me. And so just like, again, out of sight, out of mind, I set that reminder, I set the task, and then I just go through and I execute on the task. So just again, it's not like it's a great tool, but I think that the principle being like just having a good system in place for for keeping track of what you're doing and making progress on.
You're totally right. It's not only choosing a system, but it is using it without exception. I find that there are cracks in my system. So I use a tool called Remember the Milk, and it changed mm-hmm. my entire life when I discovered it.
Yeah.
I started paying like my utility bills on time and things. Yeah. And now, similar thing, I know that if I don't pull that task out of my head of following up, sending my materials, making sure I fill out their NDA, whatever it is, if I don't throw it in there, it will likely not get done. There's a good likelihood. So I think all around that is an amazing, but for a business that is as logistically active as speaking, you know, there's a lot of pieces that move around. I think that's essential.
Totally.
All right. So this is our last question. Think very hard. Imagine this very plausible scenario. You're taking a seat at the World Puzzle Championship when suddenly you trip and fall into a rip in time, and it pulls you back to the moment you're about to give your first presentation.
Okay.
What does present day you say to yesterday you?
Good question. Okay. I would say, before the presentation, I would say to relax and really enjoy the moment. Mm. And I think this isn't true for just like speaking. I think this is just true for life. Like, I think it's really easy to look at a micro view of like this moment, this hour, this week, day, this week, this month, and be like just overanalyzing and stressing on things that just like in the scheme of the macro level, like just doesn't matter and doesn't make a big deal. And so I would say like really, really enjoy the journey. And so whether you're building a business, whether you're raising a family, whether you are whatever it is that you're doing in your job or your personal life, really, really enjoy the moment and enjoy the journey. So, like speaking is really, really fun. So just being fully present with your audience, and knowing that you have a real opportunity to make an impact. You have a real opportunity to make a difference for, those people. So being present for them, and engaging in and enjoying that moment, matters to them, but it also will make a difference for you.
I love that. I love that about staying present. And it's certainly an exercise I'm trying to incorporate. I actually am better at staying present when I present than in any other area of my life. It's like time stops.
Totally,
and you just have this bubble with these people. And if you approach it with that service mindset, like you said, I think that it will transform this panic attack that we tend to have in there. And we just have to remember, it feels like a lion's den, especially for a lot of practitioners in my field, where this is a very nerve-wracking practice. Totally. You will come out physically alive.
The audience doesn't want you to suck. Like, they want you to do well. It's not an us versus them thing. So, they want you to do well. And so, don't feel like you're staring at them like they're ready to kill you.
They want to be entertained.
Yes.
Well, Grant, I would hold you hostage all day if I could, but our time has run out. So please let the listeners know where they can keep up with you.
Yeah, best place is over at thespeakerlab.com. So as you mentioned before, we have a podcast by the same name, The Speaker Lab Podcast. So if people are interested in that, we have 200 episodes that are out at this point. And so a lot of good stuff there. Would encourage people to check out. But then also those two resources we talked about, myspeakerfee.com, so that speaker fee calculator, and then the freespeakerworkshop.com is the training on walking through how to find and book gigs. So yeah, definitely check all that out.
Awesome. All of those links are going to be on the show notes page for this episode. And Grant, I just want to thank you so much. You know, when speakers like you who are insanely busy take the time out to speak to my audience, I'm just so grateful. And I'm also so grateful for the influence that your work has had on my career and the people I've been able to serve as a result. So thank you so much.
Kind words. I appreciate it. It's an honor.
Holy fire hose, Batman. It's never lost on me how fortunate I am to have access to the wisdom of these megastars. Wow, and I am so infinitely grateful that I have the ability to bring that wisdom directly to you. So to catch all of the links and resources mentioned in this episode, please visit the show notes page at leahpica.com/039. I would love to hear what you thought of Grant's advice. I'd love to hear your stories of creating your own paid speaking careers, because I want to hear about the challenges you face in any presenting capacity, whether it's just in a conference room or in a huge venue. So if you like what you've heard, please hop on over to iTunes to subscribe, leave a rating and review. Ratings and reviews are so appreciated because they affect the rankings of the show, and I'll be reading out my favorite ones on future episodes. And today's presentation inspiration is from a unique source. That is Dennis Green, the charismatic football coach. And he says, quite simply, the secret to success
is to start from scratch and then keep on scratching. A pro public speaking career is very much like a home. It requires a lot of sweat and grit and persistence to build from scratch. But hopefully, with today's tips, you'll do a lot less scratching and a lot more speaking. That's it for today. I am wishing you a safe, happy, and healthy Thanksgiving that is full of family fun. I'll be giving thanks tomorrow and every day after that for your continued listening and support. Namaste and Namigo. And that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Good.
That's a good thing to get out of the way.
Deal. I like it. Good place to be.